Chapter 359. Hey, loves, we've finally reached the end of Ex-Husband's Regret. I want to thank everyone who gave this book a chance. I know it's long. It's the longest one I've written, but thank you for sticking it out with me from the start to the finish. You are the best readers an author can have. Thank you for the love and support. You'll still get some glimpses of Ava and Rowan in Gabe's book, but we'll not be focusing on them. The first chapter of Gabe's book will be out in about 2 weeks, since I'm just putting the final touches on the plot. I hope to have you as we begin Gabe's journey, where, like I said, we'll also get Reaper and Connie, and then after we'll continue to a separate book about Noah and a side story on Gunner. I hope to see you in the next chapter. I wish you a great weekend ahead, and I would love to hear your thoughts. Chapter 360. Ava. It's been a couple of days since Christine tried to kill me. I won't lie, I'm still a bit shaken up. Once the adrenaline lowered, I crushed and bawled my eyes out. I didn't understand how someone could be so evil, so cruel, and all because she blamed me for things that weren't even in my control. After she was arrested, a warrant for the arrest of her uncle was sent out. Deep down, I knew they would never find him. Not alive anyway. How did I know that? Well, simple. I got a call from Reaper. He simply told me that I would never have to worry about him. That translated to he'd kill him once he found him. Does it make me a monster that I don't care? Maybe my association with Reaper has turned me into a cold-blooded psychopath. I didn't care whether he lived or not, in fact, I hoped Reaper would make him suffer before finally ending his miserable existence. As for Christine, I wish nothing but the worst for the bitch. She almost cost me my and my daughter's lives. There was no way in hell I was going to forgive her for that. I hope the slut has a hard time in prison, I hope she suffers, I hope she dies a very painful death, and finally, I hope that her dark soul burns in the fiery pits of hell. Thinking of what she did just pisses me off, but at the same time, it keeps my mind from overthinking. It keeps me from dying of nervousness and anxiety. A knock on the door speeds up my hate rate. The control I'd gained on my anxiety slips. I rub my sweaty hands against my jeans-clad thighs before walking towards the door. I wrench it open, coming face to face with twin gray eyes set in a very handsome face. "Hi," I squeak out like a choking chicken. Damn, I feel like a nervous mess, not to mention that I am embarrassed. "Hi to you too," he gives me his blinding smile, and for a moment I forget even my name. Damn him. Shaking my head to clear my thoughts, I move to the side and usher him inside. Things didn't go as I wanted last time, so I postponed our talk. The house is currently empty except for us. Noah and Iris were with my parents. I needed to be focused on Rowan when we were having our talk. "How have you been?" he asks while taking his coat off. He places it on the back of the sofa before rounding the sofa and taking a seat. "Nervous, but other than that, I'm good," I answer, taking my seat on his opposite side. "Lay. Nervous about? Is it because of Christine's approaching court date?" He tips his head to the side as he asks, studying me intensely. "I can assure you that you have nothing to be nervous about. Christine is going to get what she deserves. It's not that." "Then what is it?" "Talk to me, Ava. I take a deep breath. I've practiced what I was going to tell him over and over in my head, but now that he is here, no word will form, and nothing is coming out of my mouth. First of all, I want to apologize to you, I begin. Looking back, I realize that I've never said how sorry I am. You have nothing to be sorry about, he says. Yes, I have, I insist. I'm sorry that my actions back then cost you the love of a good woman and the life you two had planned. I'm so sorry that my obsession with you nearly destroyed you, Rowan. I'm sorry that I tore you and Emma apart, and I'm sorry that I never sympathized with your pain at losing her. My eyes fill as I try my best to push back my tears. This was so damn hard. He's quiet as I continue. It took time to realize that, in a way, I was selfish. I only focused on my pain without truly realizing what I'd cost you and what you were going through. For heaven's sake, you turned to alcohol and drugs to deal with your pain, but even then, it didn't really register to me the extent of your pain and hurt. You'll never know just how sorry I am, and if I could go back in time, I would do things differently. For starters, I wouldn't have been a menace or a stalker, I cry chuckle at that last past. Chapter 361. I'm now mature enough to better understand Rowan and his actions. He lost the woman he thought he would spend the rest of his life with. If I were in his shoes, I would have reacted the same way. I would have taken out my anger on the person responsible for my pain, just like I tried taking out my anger on him after our divorce by treating him with nothing but hate and bitterness. I'm so sorry it took me this long to see how much I hurt you back then, I whisper, feeling overwhelmed. For so long I was bitter. Especially after Emma came back and I realized that I could never be what you wanted or desired. I held for so long, and maybe if I hadn't, you and Emma would have gotten a chance at a life together. I'm really sorry. You'll never know just how sorry I am. I pull myself back when I feel strong hands on mine. I'm surprised to see that he'd crossed to my side and was now sitting right next to me. He takes a deep breath and I hold on to his hand like a damn lifeline. What I did to you was much worse. The pain that I put you through the years is something I don't think I'll ever be able to forgive myself. I too was selfish because I saw your pain, but I rationalized that you fucking deserve it, and for that I'm sorry, Ava. I'm sorry that I took it too far. Sorry that I trampled over your love and destroyed your heart. I'm so fucking sorry I caused you so much heartache. I couldn't listen anymore because the dam I'd been holding back breaks and everything pours out. I couldn't hold back my tears anymore when I saw how remorseful Rowan is and how this hurts him. It took seeing you with someone else for me to realize how much I wanted you. It took almost losing you to someone else to see how much I love you. I pushed you into another man's arms, and I can't tell you just how agonizing it was knowing that you were moving on with someone who wasn't me. That you were actively trying to put me in your past. That the pain I caused you made you wish that you'd never met me. That you regretted ever loving. I try to wipe away my tears, but they just keep falling down like twin rushing rivers. They were endless. Knowing how much I hurt you now breaks my fucking heart into pieces. I know you deserve better, and I should let you go so that you can find a better man, but I'll be selfish one more time and hold on to you because I can't imagine life without you. Please give me a chance, Ava. Give me a chance to show you that my heart belongs to you and that I love you with every fiber of my being, please. His words touch my heart. How did he manage to turn this around? Was the one who was supposed to pour my heart out, yet he completely flipped things on me. Oh, Rowan. You've got to realize that I love, that I've always loved you from the moment I set eyes on you when we were kids. I tried my best to kill that love and pretend that it didn't exist, but I was lying because it still remained even after everything. I tell him, swiping the tears from my face. Does that mean you're giving me a chance? His tone is hopeful, and his eyes are bright, reflecting that same hopefulness. 1,000 times yes. Fuck, Ava, I love you so fucking much, he growls right before he captures my mouth in a scorching kiss. Rowan. It was meant to be a quick kiss, but she deepened it. She moans in my mouth, which sends blood rushing to my cock. I crave her. I want her. I've missed her. I pull her from her position on the sofa and lift her to my lap. She immediately straddles me, without even breaking the kiss. My cock hardens as I feel her heat through her panties and it nearly drives me insane. Chapter 362. Breaking the kiss, I lean my head against her. Please tell me you want this, I plead with a certain desperation. It's been long, and my body is dying to bury myself in her warm cunt. Definitely. She breathes as she rubs herself against my hardness. The words barely leave her lips when I stand up and grab her hand, dragging her the rest of the way to her bedroom. I don't stop when I come to her half-closed bedroom door. I just use my foot to kick it the rest of the way open. It slams against the wall, causing Ava to jump. My body is primed and ready, and I'm impatient. There's not a damn thing that will stop me from having her now, except her telling me to stop. But there's one thing I have to make clear first. I turn to her, drag her shirt down her arms, and let it fall to the floor. She looks up at me, the brown in her eyes swallowed up by the pupils. Her breathing is heavy, causing her generous tits to rise and fall rapidly. She licks her lips, and I swear I feel it on the tip of my dick. I swing her around and bring her back against my front. Her ass meets my hard cock, and it feels like fucking heaven. She sucks in a sharp breath. I wrap one arm around her middle and let the other grip the material of her skirt. I run my nose along her neck, her scent intoxicating my senses. I stop when I reach her ear. You want me? I ask again, needing her to be sure. She shivers, and I look over her shoulder to see her hands clenched into fists at her sides. You know I do, she whispers, wiggling her ass against my crotch. She tips her head to the side when I nip her ear. I kiss and lick a trail from one side to the other. Her head moves forward, giving me access to the back of her neck. Everything else is pushed to the back of my mind. The only thing I'm thinking about is how she'll feel once I have her beneath me, the taste of her cunt on my lips, the smell of her, and how tight she'll grip my cock after such a long time. I want her too badly, and I'm sure once I reacquaint myself with her body, she'll be my new favorite dessert. Her breath hitches, and her body tightens. My heart starts beating in anticipation. It took me a while to realize my heart had been dead and cold. It's only after I allowed the love I felt for her to flow that it revived. For that, she'll forever have it. Please, Rowan, I need you. I squeeze my eyes shut with her softly spoken word, trying to calm my heart against the onslaught of emotions those words cause. I grip her hips and curl my fingers under her shirt. Her skin feels silk and warm. Goosebumps appear lee on her sides when I slide my hand up, taking her camisole with me. A little moan comes from her lips and I hum my approval against her neck. Her head drops forward again when I trail kisses from one shoulder to the other. My hands stop just below her breasts. Fuck, Ava. I pause, trying to control myself, but it's no use. Chapter 363. She reaches back and grabs my ass, pulling me more into her. Please don't stop. I want this, Rowan, she moans. I move my hands and pull her camisole up, exposing her breasts. From over her shoulder, I see her small, rosy pink nipples. They look just like cherries, and I want to lick, suck, and devour them. I pinch and twist them until they turn into hard little nubs. She picks her head up, only to lay it back against my shoulder. I grab a handful of her hair that's still at the nape of her neck in a bun and twist her head to the side so I can nip and lick her neck. I can't get enough of her taste. She tastes just as she smells. I grip both her tits in my hands and squeeze. She shoves her chest out and digs her ass back into my groin, nearly destroying my control. I take a step back from her and say gruffly, "Take your skirt and panties off. Then get on the end of the bed on your hands and knees." In the air. She turns and looks up with a smirk. "I've always wanted you to tack me doggy style. I hold my ground when all I want to do is fall to my knees in front of her and worship every single inch of her body." Her breasts jiggle with her movement, and my hungry eyes drop to them. Her body is glorious, and I haven't even seen all of it. I haven't yet seen all the changes pregnancy has had on her lee body. "You're testing my patience, darling." "Exactly. I want you to lose control, I don't want you to hold back like you used to. Fuck me like you fucking mean it, Rowan. Damn her." She knew exactly what she was doing because my cock was now painfully hard, and I wasn't sure how long I could last. She must have seen something in my eyes because she seductively winks and then slowly lifts her hands to her skirt and slides it over her hips. I watch with hunger and interest. Her hands move down, taking her panties along with the skirt and exposing inch by inch of smooth, pale skin. My eyes hold for a second on the neatly trimmed brown curly hair that lies above her pussy, before following her hands as they continue their downward movement. Once she has her skirt and panties at her ankles, she stands back up and steps out of them. I trail my eyes up her shapely legs, linger once more at the apex of her thighs, up over her stomach and tits, her neck, before meeting her gaze. She's so fucking beautiful. She's looking directly at me over my shoulder. Her eyes and posture portray a confidence that I've never seen before in our bedroom. I reach back between my shoulder blades, grip my shirt, and bring it over my head. I lose sight of her. For only a second, but when I have back, her eyes are focused on my chest. Heat flares in their depth and she shudders out a breath. Fuck, but I want this woman something fierce. Release your hair. Her eyes snap back to mine. Her hands reach back, and she pulls a clip from the back. Her thick brown hair comes tumbling down her shoulders in soft waves. Some of it falls over her breasts, leaving them partly hidden, peeking through a brown curtain. She looks like an innocent maiden from the old days, trying to cover her breasts from prying eyes. "Bed, darling," I remind her. She licks her lips, but moves to the bed. Her ass twitches as she walks, and I can't wait to get my hands on it. She looks over her shoulder at me when she's standing in front of the bed. I raise a brow in question, but she just turns and climbs up. She stays on her knees, her hair trailing down her back, for several seconds, before she lowers her body until she's on her hands as well. The sight before me, damn near, has me drooling. My dick turns to stone as her cunt glistens and spreads open for me. Her lips are small and a darker pink. The puckered hole of her ass tempts me. I want to dive in and devour her and never come up for air. Chapter 364. She's fucking driving me insane. My eyes stay locked on her pussy and ass as I walk toward her. When I'm standing with only a few inches separating my jean-covered dick from her slickness, I place one of my hands on the small of her back and run it up her spine. She's on her hands and knees, but I want her chest to be on the bed. Her breath hitches at my first touch. I reach the base of her neck and apply pressure. She understands what I want and lowers herself until she's on her elbows with her cheek to the comforter. "Spread your legs more," I tell her, pushing down on her lower back. She does as she's told, but not enough. "More," I grunt at her and apply more pressure. She spreads her legs even wider. I stop her when she's at the perfect level to take my cock. With both hands now, I start at her ass and move them up her thigh until I reach her breasts that are smashed to the bed. I reach beneath, tweak her nipples, and then bring them back down her sides. Her skin is so smooth and feels fantastic beneath my palms. She moans into the comforter and arches her back. When I reach the crease of her legs and hips, I change directions and slide them down her thighs. On my way back up, I wrap my hands around her thighs so my fingertips are right at her pussy. I pull her back against my dick, and her warmth hits me, intoxicating me. I tip my head back and release a groan at the same time she moans. When I bring my head back down, she's gripping the sheets tightly in her fists. I pull her back again, grind her wet pussy against me, and have to fight the urge to yank open my zipper and shove my dick in her tight cunt. I shift back and bring my hands over her ass again until my thumbs are poised right at her wetness. I look down when I pull her lips apart and watch as her juice slides down her thighs. She's fucking soaked, and my mouth waters to lap up every single drop. Run both thumbs up and down her slit a few times, before I slip one inside. "Fuck," I hiss when her walls clench around my thumb, gripping it tight, and she whimpers, causing me to push in further. Not able to stand it a moment longer, I take my hands away and take a step back. Her protest is instant. She looks over her shoulder. "I can't wait anymore," I growl between clenched jaws. "I promise I'll take it slow after this, but I need to be inside you right now." "What are you dash?" She stops short when she sees my hands at the waist of my jeans. She breathes in. Oh, and her eyes flare wide. W desire. I keep my eyes on her as she watches me slide my pants down my hips. My dick jumps with her stare. And a pearly drop of precum appears at the tip. Cheek back to the bed, I order harshly. She bites her lip and does as she's told. I bend to untie my boots and then tow them off. Once I step out of my jeans, I grip my cock and give it a few pulls. Stepping back up to Chris, I lay a hand on her left hip and feel a shiver race over her. I can only see one side of her face, but the side I do see shows her eyes clenched tightly shut. Still holding my dick with one hand, I take the tip and rub it along her opening. Instead of slipping it inside, I grab the base and angle it down until it meets her clit. Her panted rowan against the comforter and her backward push with her hips say it won't take long to send her over the edge. Thank fucking Christ for that, because I sure as shit won't last either. I bring the head of my dick back up, trail it past her slit again. My grip on her hip tightens as I slide inside. She moans, and I feel the sound all the way down to my balls. Chapter 365. I glance down to where my dick is poised at her entrance and watch as I slide every single inch in with one smooth, slow motion. Fuck, Ava, I groan deeply as she cries out into the comforter. She grips me so goddamn tight, it's a wonder I don't come as soon as I'm inside. The feeling of her wrapped around me, warm and soft, is like heaven and hell. It's one of the sweetest things I've ever felt, and I know this will be the only time I'll ever feel it. I pull my hips back until just the tip is left inside. Seeing her wetness glistening on my cock has me biting back a groan and fighting the impulse to pound the fuck out of her. Slowly, I slide back inside and hold myself still, letting her adjust to my size. Once I feel her relax, I grab her hips and slam forward. At the same time, I pull her back to me. She's whimpering and crying and clutching the comforter in a death grip. On my next inward movement, I keep her hips against mine and grind my pelvis into her ass, hitting something inside her that has her shouting, "Rowan." Hearing her cry my name has me wanting to pound my chest like a caveman. When I pull from her again, I don't stop until I pull all the way out. Immediately, I push her ass until she has no choice but to move up the bed. I climb up behind her and bring her hips back, fitting my cock back inside her sweet, warm pussy. "Make sure you stay on your knees," I grumble at her. She holds still as I bend over her back with one arm braced beside her head and one planted diagonally across her back, my hand grabbing her shoulder. I use her shoulder as leverage to push myself forward while at the same time making sure she stays in place to take my thrusts. I surge forward and feel my balls slapping her clit. Pulling back, I slam forward again. And again. She holds her position on the bed, but with my thrusts, she's forced to inch forward. I grit my teeth to keep from spilling inside her. "Oh heavens," she groans. "Please don't stop." Her walls tighten around me, and I know she's close. I wait just long enough to feel her reach her peak. She cries out my name and starts bucking her ass against me. I have to force my own orgasm back when her tightness clenches around me in a vice grip. I bend more at the waist until my chest is curled against her back. I take my hand from her shoulder, grab a handful of hair, and yank her head back. Once my lips are at her ear, I take the lobe between my teeth and nip, enjoying the shudder that goes through her body. I rear back, force my hips forward, and unleash my own climax inside her, shouting, groaning her name, for everyone to hear. Lee, I pull out of her and collapse next to her, trying to catch my breath. That was the best fucking orgasm I've ever gotten. It almost rivaled the first time we fucked 10 years ago. I tried forgetting it, but it always stuck to me. It's no wonder, I kept coming back to her for sex. I'd just relaxed when I felt Ava move. I opened my eyes, in time to see her moving on top of me. Don't tell me you're already done, she whispers against my mouth. My mouth dries out when she rises a bit, grabs my still hard cock, and then slides it into her pussy. It felt like heaven. I grab her hips as she starts to ride me, my eyes captured not only by her beauty but also by her beautiful breasts. Definitely not, I reply with a wicked smile. We're not leaving this bed until neither of us can walk properly. Chapter 366 Rowan. Fuck, I am a nervous wreck. My heart was beating erratically, and I could barely contain the shaking in my hands. The last time we did this, we were both young, and neither of us wanted it. She'd been trying to escape from me with my baby, and I'd been angry at the whole universe for the fact that I had to marry a girl I hated. Parts of me still wonder what would have happened if Ava had managed to run away. Of course I would have been fucking angry that she ran away and denied me the chance at knowing my baby, but would we still have found our way back to each other? I didn't see it before, but I truly, fucking believe that Ava is my soulmate. It took a while to see that, to realize that, but better late than never. Will you fucking come down? Gabe growls beside me. Taking a deep breath, I try to calm myself down, but nothing happens. I guess I won't be able to calm down until I see her walking down the aisle. Look, Auntie. Well, you better, you're making me nervous, and I'm not the one getting married. We were standing at the front, waiting for Ava to arrive. Neither she nor her bridesmaid had arrived yet. Despite me wanting the most lavish wedding money could buy, Ava didn't. I wanted the whole damn world to know that she was mine. That she'd chosen me. That she'd given me a second chance. Nobody was ever going to be able to take her away from me. Ava wanted something simple and intimate. That is one thing that still surprises me about her. She is one of the richest women in the city, yet she's so simple and down to earth. She didn't want any paparazzi at our wedding, or strangers. Just friends and family. I saw Mom's wedding dress, it's beautiful, and she looked beautiful in it. Noah says it on my other side. Wait and see, you won't be able to take your eyes off her. You fucking guessed it. My groomsmen were Gabe and Noah. I would have chosen Travis, my oldest friend, but our friendship has been the same since everything went down between me and Emma. Ava has also yet to forgive him, so there is that. I can't wait to see her. I smiled at my son, who was bouncing in excitement. He was our biggest champion, always trying his best to push us together when Ava and I divorced. He never gave up on us. I guess he saw something between us that we didn't until it was almost too late. I turn and stare into the crowd. My parents were seated at the front. The talk between my mom and Ava had somehow brought them a bit closer. They'll never be best friends, but there's no longer bad blood between them. Nora and Theo weren't here, but that's understandable. They're with Ava and her bridesmaid. Travis, Kate, and Emma were also present. Only a few of the kids Ava has helped were present here. The rest would join us at the reception. Her assistant and a few of our colleagues were also present. Also present are Calvin and Gunnar. What if she doesn't come? I whisper to my brother as a different kind of panic takes over. You're kidding me, right? He gives me a look that suggests he finds me to be the dumbest human being in existence. I ignore that. Maybe she decided I'm not good enough for her, which, by the way, I'm not. I wouldn't blame her if she decides she's better off without me in her life. Gabe discreetly shakes me. Get a fucking hold of yourself. Chapter 367. Yeah, what Uncle Gabe said. Mom wouldn't run, she's excited about marrying you again. Her happiness is so sweet, it's enough to give someone a sugar rush. He gives me a smirk, one that is eerily similar to mine and that of Gabe. I was about to say something when the wedding march began. Standing up straighter than a rod, I face the entrance. The first to walk in is Corinne. The color she chose looks radiant, but I don't really fucking care about her or Letty, who walks in next. I just wanted to see my daughter and my soon-to-be wife. Iris finally walks in with a small flower basket, throwing petals on the ground. She's now 2.5 years old, since our engagement took 1.5 years. My heart swells with so much love. I watch, smiling, as she tries her best to focus on her task. Halfway through the aisle, she looks up and spots me. A big smile breaks out. She drops the basket and starts running full speed towards me, her task completely forgotten. Papa, she screams. Miss you, there's a burst of laughter and awes from the crowd, but I don't pay attention. None of them matter. I go down on my knees just in time for her body to crash into mine. I hugged her, smelling her sweet and comforting scent, before standing up with her in my arms. Hi, Bubba, she greets Noah, using the nickname she gave him. Hi, best uncle. They greet her back. I kid you not, Gabe trained her to call him the best uncle. Soon I'm distracted when I see Ava with her parents. They start walking, and can't keep my eyes from her. She looks beautiful and radiant. It was like watching an angel walk towards you. I was completely mesmerized. When they get to us, I don't waste time wrapping my hands around her waist, pulling her to me, and kissing the daylights out of her. I can hear the laughter and chuckles in the background, but it sounds so far away. Someone clears their throat. You clearly skipped to the part where you kiss her. Another round of laughter and chuckles hits me just as I'm pulling away from her. She looks up at me with her beautiful brown eyes and warm smile. Moments like this make me fall for her all over again because she's just got that kind of grip on my heart. Okay, let's begin, the priest says. Nora tries to take Iris, but she refuses, clutching onto me like I'm her lifeline. Finally, she gives up, and the whole ceremony she spends in my arms, which I don't fucking mind because she's my daughter in every way. Everything is a blur as my focus is on the woman standing in front of me. We chose not to say our vows before others. That one will just be between us. Do you, Ava Howell, Take Rowan Wood as your lovely wedded husband, the priest asks her. She smiles, her eyes sparkling and her smile radiant. No one else knew yet, but part of her radiance stems from her pregnancy. I do, she answers, and I place the wedding ring on her finger. And do you, Rowan Wood, take Ava Howell as your lovely wedded wife? I do. At my answer, she places the ring on my finger. The feeling that rushes through me is unexplainable. It's exhilarating. My love for her expands inside my chest. Forgetting everything else, I pull her into my arms again and kiss her. The last thing I hear over the roar of happy shouts and congratulations is the priest's strong voice. I now pronounce you husband and wife. Chapter 368. Prologue. Gabe. I sit in my office, my mind reeling. Worry for my brother consumes me day and night. It's been a couple of months since everything went south with Emma and since he informed us that he married Ava because he'd gotten her pregnant. Since then, since he lost Emma, he hasn't been the same. It's like something inside him broke. Like he was only half living. Travis told me that Emma wasn't doing any better, but as much as I treasure her, she wasn't my main concern. My loyalties will always lie with Rowan, no matter what he did. I pull my drawer open and retrieve a packet of cigarettes. Lighting one up, I drag it in, feeling myself calm down just a little bit. I know it's a bad habit, but I just can't stop. Not when it's the only thing apart from sex that is able to make me relax. Standing up from my chair, I eye my office. I was interning at our family's company. It's been there for generations and has always been run by the men in our family. We aren't sexists or anything like that, it's just that there haven't been any females born in generations. For some reason, the men in our family only produce males. Once, there was hope when my mom got pregnant after Rowan and me, but she miscarried at 5 months. The baby had been a girl. My door opens, but I don't turn around. I've fucked her enough times to immediately recognize her perfume. Gabe, there's a man here to see you. Even when she's delivering such mundane news, her voice is sultry and sexy. Apart from her looks and sex appeal, it was the other thing that attracted me to her. Her voice alone can make you fantasize about how she sounds when you're buried deep inside her. Does he have an appointment? I asked, finally turning around. Damn, her curves never cease to distract me. It isn't once or twice I've called her in for a quickie. She's the distraction I need when my brain can't stop thinking and worrying about Rowan. No. But he said it's urgent and that he has something important to tell you. Okay, let him in. She leaves and seconds later she ushers a man in. He has dark hair slicked back, sharp, cunning green eyes, and he's leaning against a cane. I stare at him, he looks to be in his late 20s or early 30s. Too young to be needing a cane to walk, but then again, there are people in our social status that use it as a prop. Who are you, and what do you want? I ask, not beating around the bush. The more I look at him, the more familiar he looks. I just don't know where I've seen him before. I'm Andrew Beckett, I'm sure you've heard of me, he replies smoothly, before crossing the room and then sitting down. I smirk. Impressed with his confidence. Not many people have that when they're dealing with me. Though, The moment his name hits my ears, the smirk disappears. The Beckett family was once prominent. You can even say they rivaled ours. About 15 years ago, though, the CEO at that time, Andrew's grandfather, died and left his legacy to his son-in-law. It's said that he wanted to leave it to his only child, Andrew's mother, but she begged him to leave the position to her husband because he'd worked there since they married and has always desired to lead the company. It turns out that that was the single worst decision he ever made. My dad always said that Andrew's dad wasn't made to be a leader. That he wasn't meant to be CEO, and that's why the company began failing. By the time Andrew was old enough to take over the company, it was beyond help. The Beckett's legacy finally went down about 5 years ago, and they lost their social standing. How can I help you, Andrew? If it's a merger or some shit you want, let me just inform you that I'm not in the position to help you, I tell him, lying my facts down. Chapter 369. That wasn't my sector. Rowan is the one in charge of merging and acquiring new businesses. He was fucking good at that, but right now he's not in a position to do anything for that matter. At only 22, we were on top of our game. I'm not fucking bragging, but everyone in our industry knew of the Wood Twins. Everything was going perfectly until Ava ruined everything. That bitch is the reason why my brother was spiraling. I know that, but it's not the reason why I'm here, he tells me coolly. I had to applaud him. Had he taken the business earlier, maybe he'd have saved their company, because could see behind his green eyes. Andrew was as sharp as he was cunning. Then what do you want? I knew what he was doing. He was keeping me in suspense. Something I don't really appreciate. It's simple, really, he pauses, and I feel like shaking him. I want you to marry my sister. You're kidding me, right? I laugh humorlessly. Who in their right mind would want to marry Harper Beckett? I remember the last time I saw, it was during a luncheon organized by a charity organization we usually donate to. She was 16, I think. I like my women beautiful, sexy, and radiant. Harper Beckett wasn't any of that. Plus, she was clumsy and socially awkward. She also didn't know how to dress. That just goes to show that money doesn't always guarantee style or class. I know I sound like a bastard, but that is how I feel. His sister isn't someone I would look at twice, let alone marry. LM not. I chuckle. I'm not going to marry your sister. I'd rather be castrated in the fiery pits of hell than marry her. He takes offense to that. I see it in his eyes, but he quickly hides it and replaces it with a detached look. When a smile takes over his lips, a shiver runs down my spine. Well, I guess I have to release what I have to the media. His eyes turn cold as something else takes over. I'm sure the paparazzi will have a field day tearing your brother's character apart. I freeze at that. My spine straightening into a fucking rod. You see, I know what happened between your brother and Ava Sharp. I also know that she's pregnant with his baby and that Rowan has spiraled so far that he's now doing drugs. Imagine the kind of damage that would cause if this information landed in the wrong person's hands, he pauses before continuing. I can twist the story, Gabriel, say that Rowan got an underage girl drunk and then slept with her, cheating on his girlfriend in the process. We can also add in that he was playing sisters against each other, fucking both of them at the same time. Can we also talk about the fact that he got a high school girl pregnant? Or let's imagine the damage his doing drugs and being a drunkard will cause on the image of this company. What do you want? My voice is gruff. I already told you, Mary Harper, and you won't have to worry about me leaking what I have to the media. There are so many ways of twisting the truth and destroying your brother in the process. There was nothing to think about. I would do anything for Rowan. I would go to hell and back to protect him. He is my other half, and there is nothing I wouldn't do for him. Do we have a deal? He asks after a while. I stare at him with contempt. I knew the fucker was sharp, but this is beyond anything I could have ever imagined. I would marry his sister, and no one needs to know. At the same time, I'd help Rowan get better. This time, I'll give it my all to get him to where he was before. I had no choice. I hated this bastard, and I already hate his sister, but I love my brother more. Yes, I growled. We have a deal. Chapter 370. I stand on the side with a glass of champagne in my hand, just watching. Everyone seems to be happy and in a good mood, which is more I can say about myself. We're at the reception of Rowan and Ava's second wedding, yet I can't bring myself to be excited. Don't get me wrong, I am genuinely happy for my brother. Happy that he and Ava were able to fix things, so fucking happy that they got a second chance despite how their love story started. That being said, I may sound selfish, but I've got my own shit to deal with. I can't get the conversation I had with my father yesterday out of my fucking mind. It's been eating at me. Driving me crazy. Ruining every good vibe I had. I should be dancing. I should be checking out the single, sexy women, deciding who is going to be the lucky lady to share my bed tonight, but here I was brooding, wishing that this damn champagne was something stronger. Something to take the edge off. My eyes roam the room. There are some seated, some dancing, and some at the bar, which doesn't have any real alcohol. That pissed me off to no end. The bride and the groom are nowhere to be seen. I spot a familiar blonde hair. Just like me, Emma was brooding, hidden in a corner, just watching. Correction, she wasn't just watching, she was hyper-focused on Calvin, his date, and Gunnar. Her eyes follow their every move, and it's like she's frozen in time. We were all worried about Emma. It's like she was stuck in her own world. In her own hell. In her own torment, where she is tormented day in and day out by the mistakes she made. No one has been able to reach her. No one has been able to help her. The only time you see some light shining through her eyes is when Gunnar is around. Gunnar and Calvin, on the other hand, don't give her the time of day, and that rips her to shreds. I truly believe that those two are the only ones that can bring her back, but it's a long shot. She treated them like nothing, and finally they gave up on her. Now, even Gunnar doesn't want anything to do with her. I feel sorry for her, but I'm a big believer in owning your shit. Just like Rowan and Ava did. It's the only way to move forward. I believe that Emma hasn't been able to do that. Instead, she's drowning in a lot of guilt and regrets. gulped down the rest of the liquid before snatching another glass from a passing waiter. Champagne wasn't strong enough, but for now it'll do the trick till I get home. A flash of white catches my attention. No one had noticed them yet, but I had. Rowan and Ava had appeared, and Ava looked disheveled. It doesn't take a genius to figure out what they'd been doing those couple of minutes they'd disappeared. I smile at that. Happy that Rowan had finally found his happiness. For a long time, I'd blamed Ava for his behavior and unhappiness. It took years to realize that every reaction, every behavior, and his unhappiness were on him and not Aya. He could have been happy all those years if only he'd seen Ava for who she was. A woman who was in love with him. He could have been happy with her if only he'd chosen to let go of the past. To let go of the memory of Emma and embrace his life with Ava. Good thing he realized the truth before it was too late. A hard clap on the back pulls me back to the present. Why the hell are you brooding on my wedding day? Did the single ladies turn down your advances? Chapter 371. I turned to my brother. I hadn't even noticed that he was no longer by Ava's side. I've never seen him this happy, well apart from the day Noah was born and the day Iris called him Papa for the first time. His smile was blinding and his eyes were shining. He looked and seemed different from the Rowan LD known years ago. Nothing, I mutter, my eyes crossing to where my parents were seated. Damn the fucking board members and their fucking meddling. Bullshit, Gabe. You forget I'm your twin, I fucking know when you aren't okay, he insists. This is one of the few times I hate being a twin. No one can read me better than Rowan. It isn't possible to hide things from him. We can talk about it when you come back from your honeymoon. Today is your wedding, I don't want to burden you with my shit. That's utter bullshit. Now come on, spit it out. I debate whether I should tell him, but in the end, I decide to. He's my brother, and he was going to find out anyway. Yesterday, Dad told me that the board members were making some noise, I finally said after a while. About my behavior, I growl. Clearly still pissed off at their audacity. Rowan sighs. Do I really need to drag every fucking word out of your mouth? Apparently they find my womanizing and playboy ways unacceptable. They said it taints the image of the company. I did try to tell you the same thing, he chips in. Not in the context of the company's image, but your own. I growl at the reminder. He's right. He did tell me to try to tone it down. Especially, fucking my secretaries, but I was just living my life. It gets worse. Now they want me to either settle down or lose my position. I heave a sigh of defeat. You're joking, right? Nope. Basically, I have to settle down and immediately start a family. They said it'll be good for the image. No one knows that I've been married before, and it was the worst period of my life. I'm not so keen on doing that ever again. And Dad can't do anything about it. Rowans asks, a frown on his face, his mind running a mile behind his gray eyes. He said it's out of his hands, majority voted that was the best action in taming my wild ways and they've given me a month to find someone suitable. It still pisses me off that they're trying to force my hand. I don't want a fucking wife, nor do I want kids, but they got it into their minds that that's what's best for me and the company. Either I give in to their demands or lose my position in the company. What are you planning to do? He asks after a while.
I don't know.
I really don't have an option, do I? Either I get married or risk losing my position. I've put in a lot of hard work for this company. I can't lose it. My grip tightens on the glass as I feel my heart constrict at the thought of losing all I've worked hard for.
You're right, you have no choice, so the question is, where are you going to find yourself a wife on such a short notice?
Fuck, this isn't how I thought things would turn out. I'd hoped that I'd never see her again. Technically, she is my ex-wife, but she was a wife nonetheless. She'll play the part because I have something that she'll be interested in. It's been years, but it's time I found Harper Beckett, the woman no one knows was once my wife. Chapter 372. I stare at the reports in my hands blankly. This past few weeks have been, to say the least, heavy. In other words, I fucking hated the last couple of weeks, especially because the board kept breathing down my fucking neck. Except for my dad, I wondered if the rest of the fuckers had nothing better to do than to try and force me into a situation I didn't want. For heaven's sake, they even fired my very sexy secretary and brought in a male one. According to them, I wasn't allowed to have a female secretary until I settled down. 2. Those bastards even went further to threaten me with my job again. They'd said if they so much as saw or heard gossip about a new woman in my life who wasn't my fucking wife, then I would lose everything. Dad tried talking to them as the head of the board, but their minds were made up. Either I settled down and showed maturity and responsibility, or they would vote me out and kick me out of the company. The same company that my fucking ancestors built. I've been in a terrible mood since then. Hell, since Dad told me everything they'd planned to do, I easily snap at my employees, and I'm not a great company to be around. The only one who could ground me is Rowan, and he's been on a honeymoon vacation. They're expected to come back this week, but last I heard, they might add a few more days to their time away. Letting out the breath I was holding, I stood up and started pacing my office. Can I get you anything, Mr. Wood? It's lunchtime, Christopher, my new secretary, budges in and asks. He is gay, and he has no sense of space. No, unless you can get me a wet pussy, I reply, not looking at him. That I cannot. He groans. Well, I could, but given what the board told me, the only pussy you'll be getting is that of your wife once you settle down. I balled my fist at the reminder. I want to fucking hit someone, and he's a likely target. Don't get me wrong, I don't have anything against him. He's a fucking good secretary and does his job well. But he isn't a woman. He can't give me the stress relievers I'm used to getting from my other secretaries anytime I was under pressure or the thrill of fucking her on the desk, knowing very well that anyone passing by could hear her moans. Sex relaxes me, and the board took that away from me, so now I'm wired hotter than an atomic bomb. This is the longest I've gone without sex. I don't like being tied down to one woman. Like I said before, that kind of shit was for someone like my brother. I preferred variety, and the board was trying to tame that. Look, I know this will be hard given that you're used to your Playboy persona, but I also know you love this company and you don't want to lose it. Giving up your bachelor life is hard.
and getting married is hard, but like a TikToker once said, choose your hard. Which of the two is more beneficial to you? One, think over his words. I hated this. Hated that I was being forced yet again into a marriage I didn't want. The first time it happened, I hated every second of it. I hated being tied down, and fuck was I glad when I got to fucking divorce her and kick her out of my life. I thought that was it, that I'd never have to go through that again, but fuck, here we are. Just get me whatever is good on the menu. I finally answer and turn back just as he walks out of the door after saying he'll be back. I get back on my seat and just sit there, staring into nothing. I'm not sure how long it was when I heard a soft knock on my door. Come in. I knew it wasn't Chris. That man never knocks well, unless I'm in a meeting and it's really urgent. Good afternoon, Mr. Wood. I just nod my head. Tell me you have something. I'd hired a private investigator to locate Harper. So far, he's been unsuccessful. All the leads led to dead ends. After the divorce, I kicked her out without a penny. I didn't care where she went, all I knew was that I didn't want her in my fucking city. I didn't ever want to see her face, so I made sure she knew exactly what would happen if she ever came back. It's been years since that day, and I've never come across her, for which I was thankful for, until now. I found her, he simply says, as if that's everything he's got. Well, I urge, trying to stamp down my impatience. What do you have on her? She moved abroad after your divorce, joined university, and then got engaged soon after. So she's married. Was married. She's a widow. Her husband died about 2 years ago. Well, say what you want to fucking say, but his death came at a very good time. I mean, with Harper, I know that she won't be clingy, we'll have an understanding, and at the end of 5 years, long enough for those bastards to have retired from the board, we'll divorce. Perfect. Send me her location. He takes a seat. What makes you so sure she'll agree to what you want? You divorced her and basically kicked her out of the country. I have something I'm sure she'll be interested in. I shrug confidently. Doesn't it matter that she's a widow? Not really. As long as she acts the part of a loving, fucking wife, then we are good, I reply. Now send me her location. Ben is a P.I that we often use. He's good at his job, and that's why our family has kept him around since we first gave him a job. We known each other, that's why he has the audacity to question me. Before I send you her location, there's something I discovered, something you should know, he tells me almost hesitantly. I stare at him. I see the conflict and fear in his eyes. Maybe he was afraid of how I would react to whatever news he had for me. Spit it out, Ben, I almost yell in impatience. Instead of saying a word, he hands me a photo. I study it for a WH trying to register what I was seeing, then it hits me. Those gray eyes were quite familiar. Dad had them, Rowan and I had them, and so did Noah. My lips form a smile. I got Harper right where I wanted her, in the palm of my fucking hands. End of chapters 359 to 372 of Ex-Husband's Regret. Please wait for the next chapters. And in the meantime, don't leave the website, you can listen to other famous novel titles such as The Broken Warrior's Daughter by Cooper, when his eyes opened by simple silence, "Can't win me back by Ginger Sue, the CEO's ex-wife is a famous doctor by Lee LHYZ, you're gonna miss me when I'm gone by Cora Smith," and more.